Good afternoon. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Arvind Yuvaraj with me in the studio. If you're looking to update your resume, well, we've got some tips for you today.
And if you're into Lego, you love this brilliant engineering story. And since the Super Bowl is over, there's one ad that didn't quite work well for some people. And then we cover how over in China, social media means online shopping.
Yeah, but for those looking for a new challenge in 2017, well, listen up, because just recently, LinkedIn, the world's largest online professional network, they revealed the most overused words found on Malaysia's LinkedIn profiles. The list was shared to help local professionals shine and differentiate themselves on the network. The compilation of the 10 worst word offenders in the last 12 months were drawn from an analysis of millions of profiles worldwide, including 3 million here in Malaysia.
Yeah, and LinkedIn has been sharing global buzzwords for 6 consecutive years now. And this year, Malaysia's top 5 most commonly used buzzwords are responsible, experienced, passionate, leadership, and the top offender is specialized, which is a newcomer to the list and appears to be a favorite for marketers, sales, and talent representatives.
Now, again, these aren't necessarily bad words, but they are the most overused words. You know, others in the list include strategic, excellent, expert, certified, and creative. I mean, these are the kind of things you would expect anyways, right? Because LinkedIn is an online professional social network, so you would expect these buzzwords being thrown around everywhere. But it's also time to stand out from the crowd. And according to Roger Pua, he's the Senior Director Corporate Communications for LinkedIn Asia Pacific, words may be easier to describe your accomplishments and skills, but they may not be as effective or an incredible way of a credible way of communicating when you know you're the best person for the job, especially when everyone is sort of using the same words. And what LinkedIn globally has done is partnering up with author Christopher Sanford. He's a best-selling biographer, and he believes too that often, you know, we hide behind buzzwords which don't actually mean anything. You know, whether it's our desire to keep, you know, things simple or because we actually don't feel confident about our work accomplishment. So he's gave some tips for, you know, those who are looking to stand out.
Yeah, so he says the number one, mind your language. So your profile summary is one of the first things people look at, and it's important to get it right. You want the reader to want to know more about you, so start with something punchy. You can do this through specific phrases, storytelling, or even clever use of punctuation. Don't be afraid to lead with a short sentence like music is my first love. Above all, you should always keep your reader, your customer, firmly in mind.
Yeah, the second on the list is be direct. It's often tempting to speak in the third person when it comes to our own working lives. Don't do it. It's impersonal and it just doesn't draw any attention at all. Take a professional tone and be assertive and direct when you're talking about your achievements. Don't hide behind buzzwords or jargons. At the same time, don't shy away from adding some personality to your language. This is obviously a great way to show your character.
Yeah, and then number three is make the most of your experience. List out all your relevant previous roles and describe what you did in everyday language. This will help people understand the breadth of your work story. A complete profile reflects a well-rounded person.
Yeah, and the last one on the list is show, don't just tell. While language is important, it's you know, showing real examples of your work is equally important. Instead of just using buzzwords like strategic, you know, prove it by uploading a presentation or projects that, you know, bring this to life. These are individual to you, and you know, and help paint the picture of your, you know, special skills and unique background. Whether that's an image of, you know, launch of a big campaign or, you know, a blog that you wrote in your spare time.
Yeah, you can check out the conversation about this on LinkedIn with the hashtag #StartSomething. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we have a brilliant engineering story using Lego. So stick around for that. BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Jeff, and Arvind. Okay, so this is a true engineering story, because when engineers can't do something one way, they'll innovate and they'll twist and turn and find another way to make something work. So basically, two teachers named Nate McDonald and also John Schuster, they spent more than 10 years in school trying to teach students some basic principles of circuitry and engineering, but something just wasn't connecting. The students were not absorbing all those engineering concepts. So here's what they did. they started to Tenkar Labs, which is a new company that designs small blocks that operates as parts of circuits that they can connect to Lego bricks.
Yeah, if there's one way to get kids interested in something is by using Legos, right?
Definitely. And it never gets old. I'm still fascinated over Lego. Mm-hmm. And Lego is one of those things that, you know, has really become popular with kids, even with all the new gadgets and, you know, digital games and stuff. So basically, this Tenkar Labs circuit has three units, a battery, a motor, and a light, all of which can be connected to build simple things like cars, a way to teach kids, you know, how some of these simple principles of engineering. And the good news is that the company has raised $2.1 million in seed financing for its launch.
Yeah, and like you said, typical engineers, right? So Nate and John said that they didn't want their students to just work on circuitry or soldering. They wanted the kids to really understand the concept behind what they were doing. So by using Lego and the Lego concept, kids will be able to build their own circuits using block pieces, which will help them understand how everything connects to each other and what each component does in the circuit.
Yeah, and the blocks operate exactly like you'd expect with units of a circuit. So if you connect them in a sequence, you'll get a different result than, you know, connecting them in parallel. And then they have a small pylons that will snap to another to make that, you know, entire circuit. Mm-hmm. For now, the company is focusing on those three elements, but it's natural for, you know, some of the basic parts would come down the line, like, you know, maybe a resistor, for example.
Mm-hmm. Right? And as for the selling point, Tenkar wants to target both teachers and classrooms, and not just parents, which will likely get some kind of bulk discount. Mm. And right now, everything is sold in kits, which is available for pre-order. And each kit is, you know, selling for about $60. And Tenkar is confident that these will sell because kids are familiar with it. It doesn't look like, you know, like schoolwork. It actually looks like a fun toy Lego set.
And the thing is, Tenkar knows about that kids, you know, they love their smartphones and their tablets. And they say that, you know, they're not trying to compete with those things. They don't want to take kids away from their screen time. What they're saying is that, you know, there is some time in that during the day to allocate, you know, for some creative work or maybe even playing with non-digital toys. And that's where the Tenkar kit comes in. It's like a toy with an educational element inside.
Yeah. And the company also knows that it has big competition moving forward. Like, there's a company called Little Bits that is making the same kind of early engineering training products to teach STEM basics to students. And that company made an insane $44.2 million in June 2015. Wow. But Tenkar is confident that it still has a shot in the edutoy landscape, and they'll actually be taking their units to the New York Toy Fair to get some publicity there.
Mm. Well, it's inspiring to see, you know, an analog company growing in a digital world. It's risky, you would have to say, but then again, you know, Lego, the element of it, it's smart, and I think, you know, that will surely help them a lot. And I'm a big fan of Lego still. I'm sure you are as well, a Lego fan. I also have one of those circuitry pens that it's something similar to this, but it's much more of a smaller scale that, you know, you just, it's a pen that you can draw a circuitry board on top of this platform that they give you, this board that they give you. Yeah. So it's a very cool pen. You learn about, you know, circuitry and engineering in some ways. I'm learning when I'm like, you know, 30 years old already. Can you imagine these kids, the way that they absorb stuff, it's going to be crazy.
And they love it also.
They will love it. It's Lego, yeah. Anyways, we'll take a short break. This is the Enterprise Biz Bytes. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9. And we're back. This is the Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff, together with Arvind. So Super Bowl just happened last weekend, and usually the commercials are the star of the show. However, this year it has been reported that the ads are just not that memorable. I actually haven't really seen any of it except for like the Guardians of the Galaxy.
And the Lady Gaga, performance.
Stuff, right?
Yeah.
And it got really political, like really, really fast. Mm-hmm. Whether it was intentional or not, we're not here to discuss about that, because we're here to talk about one specific commercial, and it's an ad by Audi, and it received like massive backlash.
Mm. And so the ad starts with a determined little girl steering a homemade go-kart and zip past the all-male competition. So her father, who is voiced by George Clooney, so you know this was an expensive ad, worried darkly over the challenges that she'd face when she entered the workforce. We let you listen to the ad for yourselves.
What do I tell my daughter? Do I tell her that her grandpa's worth more than her grandma? That her dad is worth more than her mom? Do I tell her that despite her education, her drive, her skills, her intelligence, she will automatically be valued as less than every man she ever meets? I'll be able to tell her something different.
So it's got a great message, and the last scene there, it ended with the tagline, "Progress for Everyone," and the video was published on YouTube on the 1st of February. Has over about 11 million views as of today, but it has garnered over 67,000 dislikes compared to 56,000 likes.
Yeah, and you might wonder why the backlash, right? I mean, Audi is just trying to demonstrate to viewers that the German automaker is committed to gender equality in the workplace. However, Audi has no women on its 6% executive team. Its supervisory board, which is the German equivalent to a board of directors, is only 16% women. That's below the already low average of 20% for female representation on corporate boards for Fortune 500 firms, and significantly lower than BMW's 30%.
Yeah, I guess people are just trying to prove a point where, you know, you really have to practice what you preach. But in defense, Audi spokeswoman Miranda Harper says that the company signed the White House equal pay pledge last year, and its graduate analyst program has a minimum requirement of 50% women.
Yeah, but of course you can't discount the other half who supported the ad. It wasn't a complete flop. Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg posted the ad to Facebook with kudos to Audi. She wrote that now more than ever we need ads like this to push back on gender stereotypes. But by inviting scrutiny of Audi's lousy record for women in its own leadership ranks, the ad backfired. It also left viewers feeling sad about the obstacles waiting for the girl in the go-kart. You know, the worst part is, I don't know if this this is for all ads, but the Super Bowl charged about $5 million US dollars for 60 seconds this year of airtime. Yeah, and that's why we had a lot of 30-second spots this year, because companies were cutting down on costs.
Yeah, but since Audi went for the full 60 seconds, it probably meant they spent north of $5 million US dollars there. And that didn't, of course, include, you know, the awesome George Clooney.
George Clooney.
So we'll take a quick breather. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9. And you're still with me, Jeff and Arvin, on Biz Bytes, and we're down to our final story of the day, and it's about looking at social media in a whole different light.
So now when you think of sites like YouTube and WhatsApp, do you think of shopping? I mean, yeah, we don't, right? Yeah, so I mean, if I said shopping, like e-shopping, you'd probably think of sites like Amazon or eBay or even Zalora. Well, in China, social media is beginning to equate those sites to shopping, and let us tell you how.
Yeah, so in China, social media is much about shopping as it is about sharing. Just last week, the Chinese blogger, a fashion blogger who calls himself Mr. Bags, he sold, get this, 174,000 US dollars worth of designer handbags in just 12 minutes. And he did this just using WeChat, which is China's most popular messaging app. It's like the same that we have it here as well. And he made, you know, $174,000 in sales on a messaging app in just 12 minutes. That is fast money.
Fast money, yeah. The eager buyers paid Mr. Bags for the handbags through WeChat too, using the social network's built-in payments function. These were limited edition Givenchy bag.
Givenchy.
If you're wondering how come they flew so fast, and yes, while it's pricey, the amount was within a user's 7,000 US dollar daily payment limit on WeChat.
Yeah, so let's give you another example. Imagine making millions of dollars posting videos on YouTube. Well, Papi Jiang is a comedian of sorts in China, and she does a brief comedic skits on UQ, which is an Alibaba-owned site that is the China's equivalent to YouTube. So she basically makes videos, usually no more than 3 minutes long, very fast-paced, in a high-pitched voice, stuff about millennials in China care about, like, you know, all the embarrassing questions all the family members ask when you go back to your hometown for Chinese New Year and all this kind of stuff, right? And she does all the performances, all the scripts, all the editing.
Yeah, and this woman is making a killing doing this. She's received funding from tech investors, a whopping 1.9 million US dollars from institutional investors like the Zen Fund, Lighthouse Capital, and Xingtu Capital. Zen Fund is one of China's most prestigious investors, with over 300 startup investments in its portfolio. One of its biggest investments is Chinese drone maker Yihang.
Yeah, why the attention, you may ask? Well, Papi's rise to fame was fast. She appeared out of nowhere nowhere and accumulated millions of fans across social media in just a few months. And on Youku, she has now about 2.9 million subscribers, and her skits have been, you know, collectively watched about 240 million times.
Yeah, and so shortly after pocketing her VC cash, which effectively turned her into a media startup, Papi started selling ad space in her videos. So her first deal with a cosmetics company was worth, okay, prepare yourself for this, it was worth 3.3 million US dollars.
That's a lot of money. Too much of money.
And after that, she started selling products, her first being t-shirts with three unique artworks inspired by the popular Warcraft game.
Yeah, like with Mr. Bag's flash sale, Papi's t-shirts were limited edition designs. All three versions were sold out on Alibaba's Taobao marketplace in 36 minutes. They were so popular that knockoff t-shirts started appearing on other stores shortly after.
And there are so many more examples of how social media is being used to sell, sell, sell. Like your FB Live and Instagram stories being used to air infomercials, to sell products and make testimonials. And think of the home shopping network, but using live streaming.
Then there's this one, host on Inc. Her name is Yuna or Una. She streams videos of how to, you know, use a face injection mask, and then she gives everyone her WeChat ID so that, you know, they can make orders and payments via the messaging app. Ink, of course, is a Chinese mobile app which allows users to watch live videos broadcast on smartphones. So it's kind of like Ink and WeChat, so it's, you know, equals to money.
Yeah, and we're talking big, big money. Alibaba, which runs Taobao, which is basically an online shopping website like eBay and Amazon, has now started rolling out incentive programs for people like Una. The company anticipates that live streamers on Taobao will pocket about 300 million US dollars in commissions on products they sell in the first 3 years of the program.
Yeah, and if you want to know how effective Taobao is, the app claims it sees 320,000 items added to a shopping cart per 1 million live views. And bear in mind, the Chinese consumers spent 11 billion US dollars on online shopping last year, and this is projected to rise up to 1.2 trillion US dollars this year.
I'm not even sure how many zeros are in that sum. Yeah, I cannot brain that.
I want to sell something in China.
Yeah. Let's go there. Sounds like the way of the future, but all of this needs to be regulated, of course. The last thing you want is paying for a face injection mask on WeChat and it giving you the hives. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I do know. Anyways, Now before we signed off, let's recap the stories we've covered today. We've covered a report by LinkedIn. It is one of the most overused buzzwords by Malaysians, so maybe, you know, we should stop using them so much.
Yep. And then we spoke about how Tenka Labs is using Lego concept building blocks to teach students about basic engineering. So instead of just teaching them, the Lego blocks will help them understand the concept of how simple circuits work. And if that's not enough Lego for you, the Lego Batman movie comes out tomorrow and tonight, actually. Yeah. So, you know, go have fun with that.
I can't wait for that. Anyways, and then there's the Super Bowl that happened last Sunday, and we got a bunch of, you know, new movie trailers and ads. Sadly, we didn't get any Star Wars Episode 8 trailers.
Too bad.
Too bad. But Audi's ad didn't fly so well with the audience, and we've covered about that backlash. 5 million US dollars and all the negative reaction.
Yeah, and last week we covered how social media apps in China are actually being used as huge online shopping platforms. Yeah.
So if you missed any of these stories, you can check out the Enterprise Biz Bytes podcast, which will be up very, very soon on BFM.my, or you can download the BFM app on the App Store or Google Play, and all the links to the story will be shared there.
Yeah, so now coming up at 12:30, Kusu Chuang's chat with Nick Walton, head of ASEAN Amazon Web Services, or AWS, to discuss the retail and banking experience disruption and demand for faster response times and the need for real-time analytics. They discuss with Nick Walton, head of ASEAN, on AWS plans for the region.
And that's all for today's show. Enjoy the rest of the programming. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Arvin Yuvraj. As you can tell, I'm running out of voice. We need to stop now. Anyways, BFM 89.9.